Let's go down Bremner Avenue from the Rogers Center to the Air Canada Center. Welcome in Lou Lamoriello. So we just had your baseball counterpart on, Lou. And the question becomes now, as somebody who's so close with the Yankees and has been over these years and decades, when the Yankees play the Blue Jays these days, what ball cap are you wearing to the ballpark?
I wear neither cap, Arash, but I will tell you who I hope the end result goes to.
And? The end result?
John will answer that for me.
Well, you know what? I will tell you right now, Lou's a very loyal man, and he's very close to pinstripes. Let's put it that way. How's that, Lou?
I think we've got through this without causing any option or anything else.
Well, we brought you on to talk hockey, but hold on for a moment. You must be pleased with the Yankees offseason, what they've done this winter.
Well, I think Brian Cashman has done a great job being able to, you know, get his salary cap down and also acquire the players he has. So it should be a very interesting year for the Yankees.
They made a move, Lou, in bringing Aaron Boone not long after his playing days were over from the broadcast booth into the manager chair. When you think back on your career, what was the coaching hire that you may have made that you stuck your neck out and kind of made the risky move, if you will?
Oh, I don't know. There are so many things that transpire. I don't know if there's any one individual thing that really sticks out. I think the most important thing is whatever decision you make because it's the right thing and your mind, you should have the most knowledge about the set of circumstances you have and not worry about what people are thinking.
Okay, let's get to your team. Are we going to see Travis Nerman in this lineup a little more than two games?
Well, he certainly has played well, over the last two games, but you know, we've got seven defensemen here right now, and we've got, you know, one of our mainstay top four who's injured. So, we'll take this, game at a time, see how things transpire. You know, our coaching staff will make the decision about who plays. But he's got a bright future. And, John, as you well know from many conversations over the years, it's better a player coming up too late than too soon. And getting him as much positive experience he possibly can whenever he does come up. And I think that certainly over the last two nights, he's got quality ice time and he's handled it extremely well.
Are you a big believer in right-handed defenseman, right side, left-handed defenseman, left side?
Well, I don't know if it's a case of being a big believer, but it is a positive advantage. If you do have right on right, left on left, for a lot of different reasons, especially the way the game is played today. And then, you know, depends upon what type of experiences the players have had playing on the offside. You know, I've had players, example, Scott Niedermeyer, who was better on the offside because he played that all his life. So not that he couldn't play the left side. He's a left shot, but he was better there. One of our all-time greats, if not the greatest player that ever played a game in my mind, I think he played on the offside, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He did. So that's all right. I mean, though that's kind of – I've always wondered, I mean, when you get to this skill level, how – and at this speed with the athletic ability these athletes have, that you have the ability to play either side.
Well, you do, John, but, there are advantages to, being on that right side. If you put top-end skill and ability to top-end skill ability, whatever advantage you can get and, where that stick is located, especially in the offensive end of it, whether it's, the amount of pinching that goes on in the game today, mm-hmm. It's a new game in some way. That's not saying that players cannot play their offside and it's be extremely successful and be Hall of Famers. Let's call it the way it is. But, if it's you know, a level playing field, equal talent, equal ability, I certainly would like to have him on their right side.
Okay.
Lou Lamoriello joins us, the Maple Leafs general manager. Lou, when you and the staff were kind of evaluating this roster going into the season and in training camp and in the preseason, and now you kind of look at where things are the second week of January, which player or players have exceeded the expectations or the exceeded the thoughts of where you thought they'd be at this stage this season?
You know, that's an interesting question that, you know, I've been asked that, you know, several times over the last 2 or 3 weeks. And I think that if you had to pull out one individual, it's the play of young Borgman who came in, you know, from Europe and really started off in, you know, in the elite league very slowly and ended up being the rookie of the league and coming in and, you know, not being intimidated in any way whatsoever at his young age and being comfortable in his own skin and playing both physical and not being afraid to take chances. So I think that he's come in because it was unexpected at that time. We thought, you know, he was an outstanding prospect, but I think him coming in. Other than that, I think we expected the improvement. I think we expected Freddie Anderson to be the goalie and that we feel he is, and the improvement that, you know, would be coming of our young defenseman. Remember, Morgan Rielly is still young. Jake Domner is young. So and also the forwards that we had from last year, but also understood that this is their second year in the league and that, you know, where you sneak up on other teams and other coaches are not aware of your abilities as far as how they coach against them. So I think we're pleased, but I think the good news, and I think Mike said it very well over the last couple of days, that there's, you know, big room for improvement. We
sure.
just have to get that. There's potential that is still hasn't been tapped yet. But that's one thing. Actualizing the potential is what has to happen.
So that's
all positive.
So improvement in which areas specifically, Lou?
And we're talking individuals now, but as far as improvement, you have to improve in your game everywhere. You have to improve at defense. You have to improve, you know, at offense. So you just have to get collectively the game better. And I think that's where I'm looking at. We have individual players who can get better, which collectively will raise, you know, how much better we, you know, have the ability to get.
In the calendar year, you've been shut out by Tampa. You've scored 2 goals against San Jose, albeit you won. And then last night against Columbus, you scored 2. And on Saturday against Vancouver, you scored 2, albeit you won. Is there any concern about the level of goal scoring for this hockey club?
Well, I'll ask you a question, John. We played how many, 44 games, and you just pulled out of context 4 or 5 games. And if I'm not mistaken, we're in the top 4 or 5 in goals scored in the league.
5. You're number 5. Yeah, no, I'm. But you, as you know, with all of your experience, the cycles of this game, the ups and downs of this game, there are times where you have to look at your team and say, okay, what are we doing right here? What are we doing wrong? We also look at, you know, Tampa's a top light notch team. San Jose's above 500. Vancouver isn't. And Columbus is. So are you, are you concerned about the tendencies of not scoring enough goals, particularly this week at home?
Well, you always, you know, get worried about what doesn't happen or why something isn't going right. You're always analyzing, you know, how you can get better. And you also have to give respect to the team that you play and how they might play you on that given night or, you know, who's rested, who isn't rested. You know, there's a lot of tangible factors that go into it. But, you know, it's really, it still comes down to goal differential each and every game. Whether you win 2-1 or you win 6-5, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, as long as you finish the game on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the concern. It's goal differential. I've always felt that way and always will continue to do that. But there are nights when the puck just doesn't go in. I look at our third period last night, not that I want to, go over that again, but, you know, it was one of our better periods, you know, up until about 4 minutes. And during those first 14 minutes, that score could have been a lot higher.
Yep.
But could have been and should have been or something else. But it's opportunities that you're getting and how, it, you know, how the game flows and, you know, what the results might be. But, no, I'm not. I think we have a strong complement of forwards who have a history of scoring. It's not a case that we're expecting them to do something they haven't done.
Lou, with the trade deadline now 6-7 weeks away, how different are the conversations today in 2018 than they would have been in the lead-up in years past? Not necessarily the last few years, but, you know, in a cap era, in an analytics era, when you're projecting with where contracts are for players, how different are the conversations that you're having in the lead-up to a deadline?
Well, I think the conversations are the same as far as when you're talking about the abilities of a player and the needs you have of your team, and also how you can look through the eyes of the other general manager that one might work. Where the difference comes in is exactly what you said with the, you know, salary cap era and the length of some contracts and how that length, even though it might be a player that could help you today, will affect what your salary cap will be for the next couple of years of the players that you have coming up that you have to tender contracts to and where they are in their career. So you're constantly monitoring all of that. And even though there's a team that would make a straight transaction, you might say no to because it might be so short term that it would affect what you're trying to do, you know, in other words, you know, over a period of time. And whenever you're trying to have success in an organization, you know, you're looking at it, especially when you're building from sort of a startup, you're looking and trying to have a run of about 10 years, the lifespan of your core players that you have. So you have to be careful how you affect that because there are teams that are willing to make a trade, but, you know, the length of that contract just simply makes no sense whatsoever, no matter how much it might help you for a year or two. And you find yourself having to get out of those contracts.
Are we to read into that then that you and Brendan and Mike have a plan and you won't waver from that plan?
I don't think we're going to waver from the plan. But in saying that, if there's an opportunity to get better without affecting, you know, tomorrow, you know, for the period of time, you know, it's not going to get in the way. I've always said you have a 5-year plan that changes every day, but you have to think of tomorrow when, you know, you're looking at today because it comes so quickly. And as I said, if you want to have a longevity as far as success growth, you have to be extremely careful where yesterday, years ago, you weren't in this type of situation. When free agent, and she was at a later age, the contracts were a lot shorter during the period of where, you know, you're looking at for players.
How much does it change, Lou, when you have players of high impact on entry-level contracts, knowing that you're going to eventually have to pay one or more of them, and you look at an opportunity and you say, this may be a real good chance for us come playoff time, if we add a piece or two? How do you weigh and balance all of that?
Well, you go through the process that we've just discussed right now and, you know, we draw it out exactly of what potentially and where those numbers will be. And we've got an outstanding individual in our organization named Brandon Pridham who does this day in and day out for us and is constantly making us aware and putting red flags, you know, when we're looking at different things and so forth. So, you know, it's something that's different than it was before where you did everything yourself. Now you have so many checks and balances just to make sure that, you know, you have the ability to, you know, pay that player when his time comes because he is such a valuable, you know, piece of the organization as far as success goes.
Interview's almost over, Lou, so that means I have to have my obligatory question. Anything you'd care to share with us about your own contract situation?
why, John, the relationship we've had over the years, you have to end every conversation knowing what the answer is before you ask.
Because because it has to be asked, Lou. Every once in a while, it has to be asked. You know, just because I don't want to get ripped on Twitter. You know, he didn't ask the question. You know, and I know you love Twitter, Lou. So.
Oh, God. I love you, John. Nothing changes.
It's all good, Lou.
All good.
Lou, we appreciate the time. The Senators and the Leafs tomorrow night, 7:30 start on Sportsnet. Thanks for the time, as always, Lou.
No, my pleasure. Thank you. Good night, fellas.